Welcome to the Bible study this Wednesday, April the 23rd, 2014. I'm your host, Pastor Rod Zwanitzer, welcoming you to the study of God's Word. We're blessed to have you listening wherever you are worldwide. We'd love to hear from you, where you're listening, how you're listening on the internet. So you can let us know by email, KFUO at KFUO.org. You can go on the Facebook page. If you haven't followed us there, please do so, because we give you up-to-the-date information. And you can even call us, 314-821-0850, 800-730-2727. And this is our last Bible study broadcast for this week. Tomorrow and Friday, we will be having our annual Share-a-thon. This year's Share-a-thon, where we have special guests that tell of their, you know, fond belief and conviction of KFUO being this historic carrier of the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ around this globe. And we would encourage you to listen, tell your friends to listen, because we are totally listener-supported. We need your support to continue and to expand. And we have some, just, I think, some fantastic gifts for you this year for doing so. So tune in tomorrow beginning at 7 o'clock till 6 at night. And again, that same time range on Friday, 7 in the morning till 6 at night. And then on Saturday morning, 7 in the morning till noon. You'll be blessed. We'll have some music. We'll have interviews. We'll have special guests. And we'll reveal these great giveaways we have this year for you participating. But let's get to today. Today we're continuing on with the Psalms. We're in Psalm 5. And what a pleasure it is to be able to talk about this one with our good friend, Pastor Mark Hawkinson.
Good morning.
Good morning. The host of such a popular program here on Worldwide KFUO, Moments of Assurance, noon to 1 o'clock
That's every day. My privilege.
Well, you know, it's our privilege to broadcast it, and I know so many people are touched by it. I wonder if you're aware of a previous program in KFUO's history, Moments of Comfort.
I have heard of it, but I don't know the host right offhand.
Well, the only way I knew it is, I don't know if you heard of this new book about the Missouri Synod chaplain from St. Louis, who was the chaplain at the Nuremberg trials.
I have heard something
Henry
about
Gehrke.
It, yes. I know Henry.
No, it's not the Henry that you and I know.
It's not the Henry you and I. This goes back in time a little bit.
Yeah, this guy, though, was just an amazing man and a former religion editor of the St. Louis Post-Dispatch, Tim Townsend. He discovered this guy in an amazing way. He tells a story on the interview I did on Book Talk about this. And anyway, in the book, Mark, you open it up to, he's got a whole section in the middle of black and white photos. And it's one of this guy, Gehrke, in the KFUO studio, and it has Moments of Comfort written on it.
Well, I'd like to see that.
Yeah, and then it talks about that he did that program for a lot of years, and so I'll have to show it to you.
I would love to see it.
Yeah,
indeed. Yeah. Probably have a lot in common with him.
you sure you're not related?
Well, you never know. I'm sure if you go back far enough, you could probably find some kind of a Germanic strain there that would fit
there
in.
You I go. Don't know. There you go. So what's going on in your world and in your life? A great Easter?
We had a wonderful, wonderful Easter service and all the stops. This is one pet peeve that I have that I taught myself to play the organ. And not good. I'm not good, but let's put it this way. Enjoy it very, very much. But when there's a high festival, I feel that all the stops should be pulled out.
Oh, yeah,
and
me
I'll
too.
I'll tell you, where I was on Sunday, where I belong, at Emmanuel, Washington, Missouri, all the stops were pulled out.
Oh, yeah.
Fantastic service.
I love when those organists just let that baby sing at its top volume.
I think the windows were vibrating.
Oh, yeah. The lintels, as Isaiah might see.
The doorpost and lintels.
Yeah, shaking. I love it.
Oh,
yeah,
boy. Yeah, it was something. So the victory of the resurrection is very emotional for me for numerous reasons, and it just strikes right into your heart.
Oh,
when you combine. I'm sure you experience that as well.
Yeah, you got to have a pretty cold heart towards God and too high respect for yourself to not be moved emotionally by a good Friday, Easter Vigil, Easter Sunday celebration.
You know, when you think about it, Rod, your hope and mine and the hope of the listener is solidly in what happened to Jesus Christ, the fact that he really did suffer and die and that he was pierced through for your transgressions and for mine, for the transgressions of the sins of the whole world. And without that occurring, there would be absolutely no hope.
Oh, I know it, as Paul says in that great resurrection chapter,
right.
1 Corinthians 15, if that didn't happen, our faith is really stupid and worthless.
That's right. Fortunately, it did happen.
Well, and you know, I'm amazed, Mark, by men more brilliant than I. Historically, they can prove the crucifixion and resurrection.
Sure.
Because
they can.
There's reliable historical evidence outside the Bible for it. It's just, you know, Christianity is such a historical religion because it's based in time and in this world. And so we have little markers. And the resurrection is one of the biggest.
Right. And you have church fathers like Josephus and others that have testified to this.
Oh, yeah.
And I heard your interview with Ken Ham, by the way, on Book Talk, and that was excellent. You know, he's building, as you know, Noah's Ark. And he's a man that, like you, that will, you know, testify of his faith, but also that he digs and finds these little artifacts and that prove that all of this that's recorded in Holy Scripture is verified and true by evidence as well.
Yeah. And so it's so wonderful. We would love to have you join us in this conversation that we're going to jump into about Psalm 5, 314-821-0850 in the St. Louis area. And toll-free North America, 800-730-2727, or via email, kfuo@kfuo.org. Wow. We have David in Losel, Illinois, wants to talk about Henry Gehrke. David, welcome to the show. This is a first for me that somebody called in this quickly.
This is great.
Okay, yes. I'm actually living in LaSalle, Missouri right now, but name is David. I just wanted to make you aware, you mentioned about Henry Gehrke, who was the chaplain to the Nuremberg trial.
Yes.
And he's been he has a son by the name of Henry Gehrke. If he's still living, lives in Cape Girardeau, Missouri. Had been in the Army for many years as an officer, and then retired and became a police chief in Cape Girardeau, and currently lives in Cape Girardeau if he's still living. And you might want to think about having him on sometime to tell about his own father. So he has been on KFUO many years ago before. So in case you weren't aware of that, I just thought I'd give that information to you.
Thank you, David. And in fact, the author of this book, Tim Townsend, he got a lot of his stuff from interviewing Gehrke's son. He spent a lot of hours down there, and he acknowledges it in the book that between that and the Historical Institute of the Missouri Synod, he got a lot of his data. So thanks for that. And I'd never thought of having him on if he's still alive and willing, but that would be great. So thanks for that. Have you read the book yet, David?
Many years ago, and it might be nice just to talk to him sometime, too, if he's still around.
Oh, yeah, exactly. I'm going to try to do that. So thanks for that suggestion. Have you read the book yet?
Okay. No, I haven't. I just
it's a great
it
book.
Station, matter of fact,
it's a great
authors.
Book. You know, I read so many, and this is really a well-done book, a moving book, because as Tim and I were saying, you fall in love with the spirit of this guy, that loved the gospel for the...
What was the name of it again?
Mission at Nuremberg.
Okay.
And the guy's name is Tim Townsend. If you just even search on Amazon or Barnes & Noble for Tim Towns, I think he's even got a website, mission@nuremberg.org or .com, one of those.
Okay,
David, thanks for that great suggestion, and I will contact the gentleman there in Cape Girardeau. So thanks for that, and blessings, and thanks for listening.
Yeah, blessings to you, David.
Yeah, blessings to you both.
Thank you.
So let's jump right into it. Psalm 5, to the choir master for the flute music, a psalm of David. Give ear to my words, O Lord, consider my groaning. Give attention to the sound of my cry, my King and my God, for to you do I pray. O Lord, in the morning you hear my voice. In the morning I prepare a sacrifice for you and watch. So, Mark, what do you get out of those opening three verses?
Well, you know, David is really presenting a case before God, because if you look at the background of what's going on here, this probably was the rebellion of Absalom, his son. And so David was surrounded by his enemies, and, you know, he needed direction from the Lord. And you notice that first thing he does when he gets up in the morning, he presents his request and says, "Consider my groaning." Not only my words. There are two things involved here in this verse one. The words that he says, consider what he's saying, but also his innermost groanings. And that's reminiscent of Romans chapter 8, where the Spirit, you know, it talks about how the Spirit helps us in our prayers.
Voice them and articulate them, it hears our groans and it presents them before the altar.
That's right. I look at it this way, that when we pray, the Holy Spirit adjusts them to conform or fit the holy will of God. Because I don't know how to pray.
You know, sometimes I'm too groaning inwardly to even put it into words, but I know that and trust that God knows what's going on inside of me.
He knows.
Yeah.
And he'll take care of it. In fact, you can almost say, on the basis of Holy Scripture, the answer is on its way in some way, perhaps even today. You never know.
No, I love it. Now, how about that second part where he says, give attention to the sound of my cry, my King and my God, for to you I'm doing this praying. Isn't that magnificent?
Yes, because he himself was a king. Here's King David, and yet he appeals to the King.
The King.
King of kings.
And not only King, but he calls him God.
Yeah, and Lord of lords. So he's presenting a case to God here, and basically it comes out that since I follow you, Lord, and I'm in your righteousness, please answer my prayer. And obviously, you're against the wicked. You don't approve of what the wicked are doing. Don't go their way. Go my way. Come to my relief and let the wicked, if they continue in their wickedness, they're going to be their own worst enemy, and they're going to end up in destruction.
Yeah, which is Psalm 1, isn't it?
Yeah, it's all about Psalm 1. So. Yeah.
The ways of the wicked, they're like trapped, they're not going to be able to stand in the day of judgment.
That's right, they will perish.
Very good.
So another thing I like about this in verse 3, everybody has an Achilles heel, a point of weakness. I know what my Achilles heel is.
I have more than one.
Well, okay, I'll have to admit I have more than one as well. That is why it's so important to present your request to the Lord in the morning first thing when you get up, because otherwise you're giving the evil one an opportunity to slip in with your Achilles heel or heels, as the case may be. They say you are what you eat. Well, I say I am what I say sometimes. I am a heel. You know, we're all sinners. We can all identify. We've all done some wicked things, at least, but we don't make a practice of it. Christians don't make a practice of wickedness. But that's where Jesus comes in, of course, and he bore all of our wickedness on Calvary's cross. And then when he was raised from the dead, because he was the veil of the temple, talks about that a little bit later in the psalm here, veil of the temple was torn in two. Now we have direct access to go to God. We don't have to go through anyway. We just, and you know, David is doing that. He's just, you know, imploring God, going directly to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords in view of the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. So important to get your requests out first thing in the morning before the evil one has a chance to get into your Achilles heel.
Mm-hmm. And would you think too, Mark, that when we make that confession to God, you know, it has so much beneficial medication for our souls when we say, oh gosh, I said it again, what I really know and God knows about me, my very worst. And then when we say, God, you know, help me, don't let the evil one have any opening today, we're ready to battle that weakness stuff too. When we don't win all the time, but in Jesus we really are winning, aren't we?
We've already won. We just want to exercise the freedom of that victory.
Yeah.
And so take the sword of the Spirit out of its sheath and use it. You know, that's part of the armor of God. The sword of the Spirit is the Word of God. So
Hey, let's talk about something that I know a lot of Christians have problems with, because you probably have met this experience as I did when I was in the parish. Does God hear the prayers of everybody, believers and non-believers?
Well, you can be assured that the promise that the Lord hears believers' prayers is certainly there. Because Every believer prays from his or her heart through faith in Jesus Christ, and that's a gift. So that promise is there. Now, I can't get into the mind of God and say with 100% surety that he does or does not hear. The Lord knows all things. He is omniscient.
There you go.
There's nothing he doesn't
all
know.
All-knowing is what that big word omniscient means.
So he would know about the prayers of the non-righteous. But when you say hear the prayers, what that means to me is hear from the standpoint of responding to them, answering them.
Yes, exactly. That's where I was going.
I'm glad
you clarified that.
And, that was clear. And so I would say from that standpoint, no, he does not.
Yeah.
He does
not. And there's passages, I don't know a lot of them right now, that speak directly to that, that he knows their prayers, he knows their needs, but because they don't acknowledge him, he's not going to acknowledge their request.
Well,
and isn't it so wonderful as we're talking here, Mark, that God answers each and every one of the prayers of his people?
He does. It's a personal thing because your sins and mine personally helped place Jesus Christ on that cross. So if you don't think he doesn't have a vested interest in you to listen, he certainly does.
And does God love to hear the prayers of his people?
He does. Cast all your care upon him, for he cares for you. And Rod, what I like about that is the present tense of the verb there. He cares for you. That means he's in the process of caring. Why are you and I not in the process of casting if we're not? You know, we cast, he cares. And, you know, the answer is on its way. We say in the Lord's Prayer, thy will be done. And so we are literally placing our life on the line and saying, you know, it's just like when a person has been in a terrible accident and they're in the emergency room and it's life and death, you know, all you can do, the pastor comes and say, you're in the Lord's hands, and indeed you are. And so life and death, sometimes they're just a fine line between life and death, and the Lord knows it all, and he has you in his care.
This is really interesting that just yesterday I had a high school friend that I had not even heard from or thought of, I have to admit, since high school, which was many moons ago.
No, I was just going to say that was yesterday, right?
You're too kind, Mark.
No.
But anyway, he got a hold of me and said, you know, I understand you're not now a pastor. And I said, yeah. And describing to me that her grandson was born with a defective heart and had already had one transplant, and now it's going to have to be undergoing another heart transplant, a lung transplant.
Yeah.
I wanted to know if I would pray. You know, I said, absolutely. Prayer's a sin beginning this time.
Yes.
And then told her friends, I have this buddy from high school that's now a radio personality. And I'm like, no, I'm not that. I'm just a,
well, sure,
just a follower of Jesus Christ. And I play a pastor on radio every now and then.
Sure.
And so, you know, Kathy, if you're listening, we're praying for Jonathan, your grandson. And, you know, what I told her was what I was used with people that are having heart problems. It's the end of Psalm 73, where it says, you know, my heart and my body may fail, but the only God in heaven will never fail me. And he's the only one I look to.
Yeah.
And isn't that the truth, Mark?
And
that no matter
it.
What comes our way, that we know that God is going to work everything to the good for those that love him. Romans 8:28,
and
nothing
could
get in between that love of Jesus Christ that he's placed in our souls, and nothing can. And so I was encouraging this new old found friend, look, whether your God heals Jonathan or not right now, you don't have to worry about Jonathan because God's going to take care of Jonathan. Isn't that wonderful?
And
you know, that's, I know that sometimes that's a tough pill to swallow when God might call a little one like that home. But we know that God has everything under control. And his plan for Jonathan and for you or for me is always good, isn't
it? Well, Rod, we're all terminal as far as this earth is concerned. And yet in Jesus Christ, the paradox is we're not.
Yeah.
The paradox is we live forever.
That's right.
And so some people live a certain length and a different number of years. But the Christian lives forever in with the Lord. And there is nothing better than that.
You know, when I was older, it got me so much, and it still does, that when I go into worship, I am focused and concentrating on every word that's said, that is sung, that is spoken, proclaimed to me, and I'm trying to figure out if I don't know what some of those words mean. I go and ask, like the one that used to bug me all the time, and I went to the pastor and said, "Tell me what this is," the Lord lift up his countenance upon thee. What's countenance?
Yeah,
and he looked at me and he said, he wasn't sure.
Well, yeah,
and then
I
found
it
out.
You kind of look at that.
You know, it's God's face, his favor.
Right, right.
That when he thinks about Mark Hawkinson, about Keisha, our engineer today, or about me, because we're Christians, he smiles. When a non-believer comes into his presence, which is not going to be for very long, he's going to have an angry look on his face. So that's wonderful. And you know, I can't remember where I was going. And that's that's when you're really out of high school for a long time. Let me tell you. But the point is, this God delights in his people trusting in him, does he not?
Absolutely. Yeah.
And like, put Jonathan, put yourself, put everyone that you know in that loving hands of Jesus Christ, and he will find ways. Nothing's impossible for God that we entrust our loved ones to, their health, their future. Oh, I know what it was. I used to hear in the liturgy towards the end, world without end. And I'm like, hold it. I thought the eternity only would begin when I'm dead. And the pastor said, oh, no. Eternity is right now.
Right.
And Rod, for us believers, do you know where it started? And the symbolism on this sacrament, it means eternity.
That's right. You know, Jesus said, Rod, that he who has the Son has the life.
Yeah.
If you got the one, you have the other.
Yeah.
And you have it right now, and so do I. It's just the benefits.
Yeah.
You got to wait for the full benefits. They're coming.
And what I was thinking of is I learned, too, that historic baptismal fonts are eight-sided. Octagon, eight-sided. Eight was the number of eternity.
Oh, yeah, that's
right. The symbolism is you enter into eternity when you're baptized. Now, I was just a couple of weeks old.
Yeah.
And so eternity has been mine forever. I won't ever stop. This life, this soul's never going to stop. It's going to go on for eternity. That is wonderful.
Right. We don't have a midstream God.
No.
We have a God that carries us across that heavenly
world
Jordan.
Without end right now. Let's just read these next verses, and then we come back from a break. We will talk about them. 4-6. For you are not a God who delights in wickedness. Evil may not dwell with you. The boastful shall not stand before your eyes. You hate all evildoers. You destroy those who speak lies. The Lord abhors the bloodthirsty and deceitful man. Let's pick those neat verses up and talk about them. I would say to couch this in, this is real law and gospel here. And so what do you think this is, law or gospel, Mark?
Well, you know, that's a case of law there.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And that's very blatant.
And,
no question about it.
You know, we were just talking about the confession that we make all the time, that wickedness and evil and boastfulness and evil doing resides in believers as well.
Yeah, in some measure, yeah. And you and I struggle, the flesh against the spirit, but through your baptism that you just mentioned and recognizing it and the power of the gospel, we're able to rise above and to live for Christ every day, even though there's still sins of weakness.
Yeah, yeah. Simultaneously, as Luther would say.
Saint and sinner.
At the same time, saint and sinner. And those that say they're nothing but saint— they have no sin no more.
I wonder about those
people. First John says, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. Right?
That's what this is all about.
The end of verse 6 is saying. So we're going to take a break for some quick, important messages. We would ask you to listen to them, to respond to them, and come back in a few minutes and unload this great Psalm 5 with Pastor Mark Hawkinson and myself. You're listening to the Bible Study here on Worldwide KFUO. Buzz when you
Buzz, we had a little burp here.
Yeah, there are.
Hi, this is Rod Zwanitzer, KFUO's director, asking you to join us for Share-a-thon 2014, April 24th through the 26th. During Share-a-thon, we'll have many special guests and share how KFUO has touched the lives of our listeners with this Christ-centered message. Also during Share-a-thon, we'll ask you for your support and share with you how your gifts will help KFUO share the gospel of Jesus with a world that so desperately needs him. Please prayerfully consider making a gift this year during Share-a-thon 2014 and celebrate the ministry with us Thursday and Friday, April 24th and 25th from 7 a.m. to 6 p.m. and on Saturday, April 26th, 7 a.m. till noon. We are the messenger of good news worldwide, KFUO.
If the Easter message is like clear, pure, life-giving water, and Easter Sunday is like a drinking glass, it isn't large enough. Easter overflows the day and splashes into the weeks that follow. You'll hear that joyful sound this week on Sing for Joy.
Sundays at noon on KFUO, the messenger of good news.
Hi. I'm Pastor Ted Lesh, pastor at Chapel of the Cross Lutheran Church in North St. Louis County, inviting you to listen to our KFUO radio worship broadcasts on Sunday evenings at 6 o'clock. Active worship, preaching, music, and singing are part of every one of our services at Chapel. Join us Sunday nights at 6. It's one more broadcast worship opportunity for you from your friends at Chapel of the Cross and KFUO Radio.
Welcome back to the Bible study. Rod Zwanitzer with you on this Wednesday, reminding you again tomorrow that tomorrow and Thursday, we're going to interrupt our normal program schedule from 7 in the morning to 6 at night to do Share-a-thon 2014. This is our major request to you to support this worldwide outreach of the gospel of Jesus Christ. I can tell you this, that over the internet, in just a few months, we go to more than 200 countries worldwide. Praise the Lord
wow,
for that.
That is something.
And every U.S. state, and we're growing in those numbers. So, you know, help us to reach more and more with this precious gospel. That's the only reason we're here, as the messenger of good news. And, you know, we have some great, you know, thank you gifts for your contribution this year. I can tell you that the first level is a CD of Synodical President Matthew Harrison's Easter morning sermon, and then a roundtable discussion about the meaning and importance of Good Friday. So you'll that'll be one of the offerings tomorrow, 7 in the morning till 6 o'clock at night. Please join us. Tell your friends to tune in either on AM 850 in the St. Louis listening area or worldwide at kfuo.org.
And 90 years old, December 14th.
Yeah, we're gonna celebrate that. A lot of our gifts this year have that in it. In fact, we have one that's special for that, so can't wait to unveil that tomorrow. Yeah. You can call us 314-821-0850 or 800-730-2727 or by email, kfuo@kfuo.org. Tell us your questions, your comments on Psalm 5. Mark, we were just getting into verses 4, 5, and 6. We were discussing how these are law. That second part of verse 4 is so, to me, fundamental to understand the demands of God, law and gospel-based. Evil may not dwell with you.
Mutually exclusive.
Yeah.
Impossible. What David was doing here, Rod, is he's presenting a case that involves himself here, because he was involved with this rebellion of Absalom, and he's also writing for all time. So what's written here applies to you, applies to me, applies to the listener, but it also applied to him at that time.
Right.
He was in the midst of his enemies. He wanted a way out. Lead me in the way of righteousness. That's coming up a little bit later here in the psalm. He wanted to get out of this wickedness. He wanted to, you know, he had been dethroned. He wanted to get back on his throne and you know, not let his enemies triumph over him. So he's simply telling the Lord, you know, Lord, that wickedness and you are not able to go together.
Yeah.
It just doesn't work. So obviously you don't want to go their way. You don't want to bless them. So mm-hmm. bless me instead.
Yeah.
I have followed your way and make me victorious. So two things happening here. This is applying to David's time, but it also applies for all time as well.
Yeah, you know, I had a professor that really gave me something neat here at the Psalms. He said, first, you know, understand what the original hearer would have heard. And they would hear this whole thing with Absalom, being very, satanic with his dad, hunting him down, trying to take over without God's blessing. And so, that's an application. And then he said, find Jesus. And we know
right.
whenever it
Good
talks
point.
About the king or the Lord, Yahweh, it's talking about the greater son of David, Jesus. And so,
absolutely.
Evildoers, sinners cannot stand before Jesus.
No, it doesn't happen.
You know, early on in the Bible, Leviticus says, I, the Lord your God, am holy, therefore you must be holy.
Set apart.
Must be sinless.
Set apart for God.
And so we need to somehow get from unholy, sinful, to sinless, to holiness. And we're going to get the answer here coming up in verse 7. Before we do, though, isn't this a big theme, too, from the very outset? And Jesus liked to talk about this in verse 6, Mark. You destroy those who speak lies. The Lord abhors the bloodthirsty and deceitful man. Lies and deceit. Now, this is a big theme with Jesus, isn't it?
It is. It comes back to haunt you. What yeah. goes around, as somebody once yeah. said, what goes around comes around. You might be able to get away with lying and deceit for a while, but it will come back to bite you.
Sure.
It will come back on
Who
you.
Who did Jesus say is the originator and father of all deceit
the devil.
And lies? Yeah.
The Satan himself. Yeah.
And so
sure.
we know that when we're go of that route, we are going with the prince of darkness. And we also know his modus operandi, if you will, his MO, that's how he's going to try to treat us and the world. Fake us out, lie to us, deceive us in all kinds of untruth. And we who are believers, we kind of have that revealed to us that, no, that's not true. The Lord never said that, as they begin to say to the father of lies. No, God never said that we couldn't eat from any
right.
of the trees.
Yeah. All right.
You know, we can eat from all of them except the one he told us not to.
Right.
And then he tries to deceive him again by saying, come on, you don't believe that, do you, that he's going to punish you for this? Isn't his real motivation, if we get behind his words, is this? And he still does it today mm-hmm. in so many different ways. And so here King David is acknowledging that— you are the one who wants to destroy those lies. And then in 7, but, a huge but, I, through the abundance of your steadfast love, will enter your house. I will bow down toward your holy temple in the fear of you. Lead me, O Lord, in your righteousness. Because of my enemies, make your way straight before me. There seems to be a real shift there at the beginning of 7 with that but.
Right. Well, now he's talking about the good news of the Lord's presence, the Lord's power, the Lord's guidance, and he's appealing. He says, look at me. It's kind of like Hezekiah. When Hezekiah was told by the prophet, set your house in order, Hezekiah goes to the Lord and spreads his case before him and said, but Lord, I have followed your way. I have followed your will and made an appeal, a case before the Lord. So the Lord grants him 15 more years of life out of blessing. And so this is kind of an appeal here as well. I, through the abundance of your steadfast love, and that's a key right there, that word steadfast, you know, that Hebrew word chesed.
I love
yeah,
that word.
Yeah, it just keeps on coming so you can keep on going. That's
yeah,
how you're able to continue. One thing I might want to mention as well, Rod, here in this whole section from verses 4 through 7, kind of there's a little bit of a warning there, even for you and for me. Take heed lest you fall, there,
uh-huh.
because there is a danger. My first parish call was in Bristol, Tennessee, where you could put one foot in Virginia and the other foot in Tennessee as you stood on State Street.
Is that
Street.
The place that has the big NASCAR race?
Yes, that is correct.
Okay.
It's a new facility compared to what it was when I was there. It was just a much smaller facility. Yeah. But it is possible to be a Virginian and a Tennessean at the same time. So when I got there, I said, what license plate do you want on my car, Virginia or Tennessee? Well, I got out of that because the address of the church was in Tennessee, so I got Tennessee plates.
Okay.
My point being, there are some people that think that, that somehow they have a license to sin, that they think, Jesus has saved me, he's rescued me. Now I can dabble in here.
Yeah, I don't have to worry about sinning anymore.
No. And problem is, you can try doing that for a while, but you might go too far over there and be gone and be lost. And there's a danger. Don't dabble. And, there is a danger there. And that's what I see coming out of those verses. Instead, flee for refuge to thine infinite mercy, as it says in the liturgy, where you are able to get the help that you need to rise above sin.
You know, I think you're saying something so needed for our time. A reluctance to battle your sin, because Paul presents that case. Okay, he says, because wherever sin continues to thrive and expand, grace is much more abundant than that. It'll cover
it every time.
So he says, can we say that we can just go on and live our life any way we want? May geneto, he shouts out, the Greek for may
right.
it never be so.
Exactly.
Or as one person translated, this cannot be for a believer. You will always want to battle your sin. You're not going to lick it, as Paul says in Philippians 4, but you never stop trying.
You know, we just look at what Christ did. We just went through Monday, Thursday, and Good Friday, and we see how Jesus suffered, and he suffered for you, for me, for every person on the face of this globe. And then to turn around and, slap him to sin on purpose or something is just abhorrent to him when he's done this. So that's what we have to be careful of there.
That beginning of verse 8, lead me, O Lord, in your righteousness because of my enemies. What do you take away from that, Mark?
Well, he is perplexed. He doesn't know which direction to turn. He doesn't know how to get out of his enemies exactly. So he's simply imploring the Lord that the Lord would lead him and reminding the Lord that he's a righteous God, that he's going to lead him in the ways that are everlasting, the right ways to go. And because of my enemies, I'm surrounded by enemies. I need to get out of here, so to speak. I need a way out. So make your way straight before me and reveal it. Not that the Lord, sends you as we talk today in text messages or whatever that you know exactly, but that you get the general counsel of his will of what to do as you go to his holy word.
Sure. We have a listener here in St. Louis, Mark James, that has a question about worship and verse 7. Welcome to the Bible study this day, James.
Good morning. Good morning, pastors.
Yes, good morning to you.
Good morning.
Question or a
morning.
Comment for Mark?
Yes, and I'd like to ask you a question also, Pastor. And may I get two on today?
We'll give it a shot.
Okay, great. Well, within verse 7, there are true worship implications, and it states that mercy is at the house of the Lord, and loving kindness comes from true worship in the holy house of the Lord. And so I'd like to ask you, Pastor, am I saying your name right?
You can call me Pastor Z. That's what my congregational members did.
Okay.
That's a good way to do it.
Yeah.
In those true worship implications about mercy at the house of the Lord and loving kindness comes from true worship in the holy house of the Lord. Involved in that, and is there an actual temple at this time? Because I know that he mentions the temple in that verse.
I saw a really good graphic on Facebook that I posted on mine too from a pastor friend of mine, and what he had a picture of the empty tomb with the stone removed, and he said, he is risen, but he is present with you and for you. And then the guy had arrows to the baptismal font, to the Bible, and to
Holy Communion.
The Holy Communion. And so we would say this, that where is God present to bless us and guide us and protect us and encourage us? He's where he said he was going to be, in the word and the sacrament. So we Lutherans would say, James, this, wherever the gospel is taught in its purity and the sacraments, baptism and the Lord's Supper, administered according to Christ's mandate or according to his desires, there he is. And so, you can always also say, the temple of God, as Paul says, is now in the soul of believers. But that's not what he's talking about here. He's talking about bow down toward your holy temple in the fear of you. So I would say, the church in the New Testament times, the ecclesia, is where we're called out of our culture and out of our houses to meet together, to assemble together around the present Christ in word and sacrament.
Absolutely.
And that's where we obtain his steadfast love, as Pastor Hawkinson was saying, that magnificent Hebrew word chesed, which means God's faithfulness to do what he said he's going to do, to be there in water, to be there in his word, to be there in, under, with, and around bread and wine, to do the thing that we really need, James, forgiveness of sins. Mark, am I going down the same path that you would?
Oh, I'm sure you are. Yeah, that's right.
James, was that good? Or did you have something more, Mark?
Yes,
he had another question.
I had a question, and I really appreciate that, Pastor, that proper worship is confined within word and sacrament, and I appreciate that. For Pastor Mark, in verses 11 and 12, it promises that blessings are promised to those who trust and have joy because of his name, and that there are that they are surrounded with favor and shielded with righteousness. And so I'd like to ask Pastor Mark, because he's been one of my favorite pastors over the years as I've kind of listened to your station, could you pray that divine favor is applied to my family and I this day?
You know what I forgot to do? I think I should have a deduction on my check. I forgot to have you pray at the beginning, Mark. Okay. Never too late to pray, is it? Would you include James' request and bless us?
I will.
We got too much into it.
Yeah, because I do have a family member in the ICU, and I would like some of those prayers, that intercession, Pastor Mark, please.
Thanks for that request, James.
Thank you,
for
James.
Listening.
Thank you. Dear gracious God, we take refuge in you at all times, of course, for our sins. There's no doubt about that, because we know that the blood of Jesus Christ, your Son, cleanses us from all sin. But we also take refuge in times of trouble, in times of difficulty, in times when the challenges seem almost overwhelming. And there are days when the challenges are more than one or two or three or four. They may be 10 or 11. So please be with James and his family and the family member that is in the ICU, as according to your will, work through the doctors and the medication and whatever treatments might be necessary, or whatever surgery or other things might be required. Use all these means, plus the extra added power that is yours, that is divine, that is healing, and grant healing to his family member. Also comfort for all the other family members who are concerned about this person who is in the ICU, knowing that indeed, as Pastor Zwanitzer said earlier, that all things indeed do work together for good to those who love God and are called according to his purpose. Gracious God, we know James is called according to your purpose, as are his family members, so bless them. Send your protection over them and your love, that your name may be glorified through this and that there may be a good result from it. In Jesus' precious and holy name, amen.
Amen. Thank you for that, James. Let's jump on so we can get all of the passage in here today. I think we need to pick it up at verse 9. For there is no truth in their mouth. Their inmost self is destruction. Their throat is an open grave. They flatter with their tongue. Make them bear their guilt, O God. Let them fall by their own counsels because of the abundance of their transgressions. Cast them out, for they have rebelled against you. But let all who take refuge in you rejoice. Let them ever sing for joy, and spread your protection over them, that those who love your name may exult in you. For you bless the righteous, O Lord. You cover him with favor as with a shield. Now, I know there in verse 9, Paul quotes this passage, rapid fire, in Romans 3, in defense of everybody is a sinner. Their throat is an open grave. No truth in their mouth. Wow, that's pretty strong stuff,
isn't it?
Yeah, it
gets into James with the tongue. James chapter 3.
Yeah, a little part of the body can do so much damage, right?
It's like the rudder of a ship, you know, and it will steer you either for or toward or against the Lord, indeed.
Yeah. We have a good listener, Bob, in DeSoto, Texas, listening, that wants to say something about Share-a-thon. We welcome that, Bob. Blessings to you, and welcome.
Good morning, pastors.
Good morning.
One thing I wanted to point out was many of us who are listeners, I'm sure, are members of Thrivent. And Thrivent, which is life insurance and investments and other kinds of things, we have an opportunity periodically. They'll send out information on what they call choice dollars. And those choice dollars can be channeled to a lot of different organizations. And I really would emphasize that KFUO is one of those organizations. And so that would be a good way, if you want to support KFUO, to go ahead and designate them as the recipient on your choice dollars.
Wow, that's a great suggestion, Bob.
Yeah,
thanks for bringing that up. I know we're going to probably do that tomorrow, and we have some spots. So I know my wife and I just did that. We got an email from Thrivent that said, you have so many choice dollars left this year, so where do you want to go? And as you say, Bob, KFUO is a recognized source that you can send those choice dollars. So we greatly appreciate that. Thanks so much for that.
Okay, thank you.
And thanks for listening. Blessings to you down there in DeSoto.
Yeah, blessings to you, Bob.
So, boy, that's a great idea. So this idea that they have no truth in their mouth, boy, that's pretty harsh. And their throat is an open grave.
Just ready to receive.
Yeah. You know, and just spewing.
To swallow you up.
Spewing forth lies and deceit out of their mouths. They think they're saying good, true stuff, but God says, nope, no truth going on in that mouth. They're like an open grave.
The Lord sees right into the heart.
And Mark, when he gets kind of rough like this, God, what's his ultimate purpose for kind of saying this to all of us?
Well,
what would he desire?
He would desire that we turn from any sinful way that we have and follow in the way of David's prayer, in the way of righteousness, which is the way that God would lead you and me today.
And what's the difference between, let's say, King David in this text and these people with no truth in their mouths and, open throats like open graves? What's the only difference?
Well, the difference is Jesus Christ, ultimately. The difference is faith and, that he knew the Lord and wanted to respond to the Lord's goodness. And you mentioned chesed, the steadfast love.
Yeah.
So David's life was a huge response, despite his sin, his double sin of murder and adultery. I mean, despite all that, he turned away from his sin and he came back and followed the Lord.
You know, Mark, so many people today don't get the main thrust. What does God really want to do through Jesus constantly to David and to every one of us sinners? What would he really, and he does it, we were talking about in answer to James' good question, where is Jesus present in the world and what is he present really to do?
Yeah, well, he's present in his word and sacrament, and what he wants to do is to lead you back to him every day through his word and to keep you in his love and care and the Great Commission, going out and telling other people about it. And that's what Worldwide KFUO is doing, too.
Amen, amen. And just to say it in some other words, he really is there to forgive our sins constantly,
because
that's what we need.
Yeah, yeah.
So that on the last day, we will appear before God holy like he wants us to be. And demands.
Right.
How about he shifts again in verse 11, but let all who take refuge in you rejoice. What is taking refuge? You know, we Lutherans are big in that because a mighty fortress. What's it mean to take refuge in you?
Well, another word for refuge, I did a little research on that word, and another a synonym would be shelter. Yourself in the Lord. You know, when there's a severe storm out, you've got to find a place of shelter where you will be protected. And in Jesus Christ, of course, you have a shelter from the ravages of sin and the results of sin and the curse of the law, which Jesus bore for you and me and for the world. So we don't have to worry about that. But we have a place of safety to go, and he rejoiced in that. Not only did he rejoice, he said, you can even sing. I can even hear David break. He was an instrumentalist, you know.
Oh, yeah.
He played the string, harp, and other things, so I bet he sang, too. We don't know that for sure, but I bet he did.
Oh, I bet he did, too.
Sure he did.
Because these are songs. This is the Old Testament hymn book.
Sure, I'm sure he sang.
Sure.
But it says, for joy.
Yeah.
And then spread your protection over them, that those who love your name may exalt in you. So I think anybody that loves the name of the Lord, and you know, the name and the person are synonymous. That you get the name and the person and what that name represents.
Yeah.
So if you love the Lord, you're going to be, you know, taking shelter in him. You're going to be following him despite their sins of weakness, but you have forgiveness to get
back
up again.
So that great name Jesus actually means, and the Bible tells us, he shall save all of us from
his people
our
from
sins.
Their sins.
Yeah.
Right.
So
that's the bottom line.
And I love what you're saying there, protection. You know, Jesus, before he goes to the cross, he looks over all of Jerusalem and he laments, oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how I longed to gather you to myself as a mother hen does to her chicks when the hawk's flying around the barnyard. And as a little boy growing up in farms in Kansas, I can tell you about that. I've seen it. The mature chickens see the shadow of the hawk, and they know we got to get these chicks. And so he gets them, gathers under her own wings.
Oh, that's
what Jesus wants to do, isn't it?
Gather us together, absolutely.
Yeah. And so in the church, under the cross of God, in the church of Jesus, where his word and his sacraments are rightly proclaimed and taught and ministered, we have protection.
Absolute protection for eternity.
For everything.
Yeah.
From
and
everything.
And for all things, yes, indeed.
And how about the last part, because we're running out of time, Mark. For you bless the righteous, O Lord. You cover him with favor as with a shield.
Well, there is nothing better than to rest in the favor, the good report of God. You're in the good report. You're in his love and care, in his favor through Jesus Christ as with a shield. And, that word shield, I looked that up as well. It covers the whole body.
Protects you from all the onslaught of the weapons,
right.
The entire body.
Right. And so this shield is, you know, that's the symbolism there as well, that we're covered with his favor just like a shield would cover us. So we're eternally protected, and I'm so grateful about that because I know my sin, but I also know him.
Yeah.
And through him, I get forgiveness, as you mentioned so beautifully. Forgiveness. What's the word in the original? I'm trying to think. It's a fie me or the sent away. Our sins are sent
away. Cast away as far
cast
as
cast away. Right.
Well, Pastor Mark Hawkinson, such a joy to do Psalm 5 with you today.
It is.
We got your show coming up here in just about an hour.
Oh, that's
at 12 o'clock noon. Moments of Assurance.
I better
12
get
to
busy.
1. You better get busy. Such a joy and delight to have you on, and may Jesus continue to be your shield and refuge, Mark, and may you continue to proclaim it so wonderfully here on Worldwide KFUO.
Thank you, and the very same to you. May you continue to lead this radio station in the direction it should
go. Well, with people like you and the rest of the team, it's easy. So join us tomorrow for Share-a-thon at this time, beginning at 7 in the morning till 5 at 6 at night, and Friday and Saturday morning here on Worldwide KFUO. Thanks for listening in to the Bible study this day. God go with you and bless you so mightily in Jesus Christ, our Lord and our shield.
Listen to the Bible study Monday through Friday at this time. The Bible Study is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is needed for the Bible Study to continue. Our address is 1333 South Kirkwood Road, St. Louis, Missouri, 63122. You can contact us on the web and download Bible Study programs at kfuo.org. Worldwide KFUO, on the air, online, and on demand.